Hey there, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. You know, you're going to make decisions today, you're going to make decisions tomorrow throughout this year, and you become the product of all those decisions that you make day after day after day. Theodore Roosevelt made the statement that in any moment of decision, the best thing to do is the next right thing. And then the next best thing is the wrong thing, and then the worst thing is to do nothing, he says. I don't know if I agree with the last two, but I do with the first one, certainly doing the next right one thing. That's a big part of intentional living, isn't it? Hey, here's my question. What important decision are you facing in 2017, maybe right now, that we can pray with you about? Because we're starting a series here talking about decisions. The phone line is open. We are live. Let's talk.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. You know, if there's one thing you really need to be intentional about, it's making decisions. So call now to talk to Dr. Randy about intentional decisions. 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
You know, thank you, Kurt. You know, when you think about Scripture, throughout Scripture, you hear God, through His Son Jesus and through others in Scripture, calling us to account to make a decision. You know, throughout Scripture, we see moments of decision, and those decisions alter the course of human beings' lives. And I can't think of a topic that, you know, there's a couple topics that are really big. One is forgiveness. And this on decision, I think, is right there as well. The top four or five, six topics. Huge. You're intentional with this one. It's going to make your life a lot better. Here's the question. What important decision are you facing right now in your life? Could be career. Maybe it has to do with your finances, with your health, maybe a decision about living where you are or moving to a new place. I don't know. Whatever the decision is, what's the decision you're facing that would help just to say it? I'm trying to make a decision about that we can pray with you about and help you think it through a little bit today, because intentional decision-making is a really big deal. The phone number is 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. And you'll come on in here and we'll get you on the air. Now, look at my life. I look back. I don't know if you've ever done what we call a lifeline, where you take the decades of your life or maybe in increments of years, and you write on that lifeline some of the major decisions that you made. And you're going to find that over the period of your life, you may have made a dozen or so, maybe a few more, maybe less, significant decisions. And of those dozen or so decisions, there's only going to be a handful that are really life-altering. I mean, really have changed the course of your life. It's a big deal. So we're praying today that maybe just one, maybe just you, maybe this program's just for you as you're trying to make a decision, that you'll be thinking about making the right decision. Plato made the statement that a good decision is based on knowledge and not numbers. And I thought about that a little bit. I think he's probably right. It's easy just to look at the bottom line, look at numbers, and say, well, that's how I'm going to make my decision. But you can make a bad decision even though the numbers seem to make it a good decision. You got to have real knowledge, and as a believer, that we really are connected with the source of our life in the Spirit, to be connected spiritually and allowing the Holy Spirit to connect us in our life to making the right decision. I think where it gets difficult in decision-making is not so often between a really bad decision and a really great decision, because you can kind of see those side by side. It's in the nuances sometimes of the daily decisions that we can get tripped up. So we're going to talk about some of the principles of decision-making and begin a march into a series now in the next several days, where I'm going to be teaching with my staff and with sharing with you and with visitors on how to make decisions, godly decisions, making better decisions. So this is decision time, great time in January. Come and join us, 888-888-1717.
When I face a big decision, how do I discern God's will? It's usually a matter of a lot of prayer, a lot of quiet time, a lot of waiting, a lot of patience, and you just keep working and working and just keep waiting on Him and leaning on Him.
I first pray about where God wants me to be Is this decision going to matter 30 years from now? Is it going to make a difference in eternity? Or is it just pleasing me? Is it what I want, or is it what God wants?
When I'm making a decision on how to proceed, I do a lot of serious praying, contemplation, and some quiet time, and some waiting usually. My husband and I are in the process of a business consideration right now, and even though we take the time to pray and to wait and to be silent, just knowing how to discern his will can still be difficult, even after doing all of that.
When I make decisions that are important to me, I think the first thing I do is that I get with my wife and we pray together, because I believe her discernment and getting a confirmation from her is a big thing on me understanding what God wants to do. And then I talk to other people with wisdom that I have a lot of faith in. And it's just understanding that through the doors that he opens that we need to step through and make those decisions.
Wow, that's great. Thank you. This is very encouraging. What's kind of the dumbest decision? Stupid things that Christians do. That's what we could call this program as well. Stupid things that Christians do. And we ask you on our Facebook, what's the dumbest decision you've ever made? You got to go and take a look at it. Here's just a few of them. Sanja said, one, overcommitting to a relationship without taking the time to know the other person. Well, you know where that's headed, don't you? Betty says, leaving my children's dad for someone else was the worst mistake of my life, with 4 exclamation points. Amber simply says, you asked the question, what's the dumbest decision you ever made? Her answer, that would be a long list. Elizabeth says, trusting the wrong people. Mike says, I started drinking. By the way, that showed up again, drinking and driving. Sean says, drinking and driving, hands down, worst decision. Wow. There's others we'll try to get to here. Come join us, 888-888-1717. Maybe a decision you're trying to make right now. Let's go to Michael. Michael, welcome to Intentional Living Center today.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What's a decision you're trying to make?
Well, my wife and I kind of had a plan of, after 3 years of being married, we'd start having kids, and we moved to Tucson to help with a church plant because we feel called to go on the mission field. And she wanted to do medical missions before we got married. And so we're kind of at the crossroads. She didn't finish school because of us moving out to Tucson, so she's trying to go back to school.
Right.
And so we don't know if she should just go ahead and graduate right now because she has enough credits to get a general education degree, or if she should continue going to school for a medical-related position. And we also want to homeschool our kids, so then that's kind of a problem. And then we don't know if I should finish out and get a bachelor's degree in ministry.
Yeah, how old are you guys, Michael?
I will be turning 30 in about a week, and she is 24.
All right. Well, you start thinking about this stuff. The 30s is a decade. I do a series teaching on the decades of life, and the 30s is kind of what you guys are getting into. It's a decade of decisions. It's a decade of sort of setting the course for your life, and so you're asking the right questions. I would encourage the two of you to, because you have so many things you're talking about, having kids, homeschooling kids, going to the mission field. She's talking about doing medical missions, but she's not trained to do that now. And then you said you're trying to decide what's the decision you're trying to make?
Whether or not I should just go ahead and go back to school for a ministry degree, because I've been told it's a benefit, but at the same time I've also been told that with my experience and testimony and all that stuff that I don't need it, that I can go ahead and after I get ordained, go to the mission field.
Well, you know, I'm an advocate of people being well prepared before they step into whatever it is they're going to do. I think you can over, you know, I think some people just love to go to school and love to train, and they love to absorb knowledge, and they get caught up in schooling. And there are people listening saying, don't do it. You know, you get in debt, and then you'll be paying off debt, and you can't go to the mission field. So you have to use wisdom. But if God's calling you to go to the mission field to do medical missions, your wife's got to be trained to do medical missions. She can't do it unless she's trained, right?
Right. And she, it would, you know, if we went to a third world country, she could still homeschool our kids and do the work. But if we went to, you know, a developed country, it would be kind of hard to do both of those at the same time. So that's also the problem.
Have you guys ever experienced mission work outside the country?
Yeah.
International ministry?
She has. I haven't. But she's gone to Dominican Republic, Haiti, Brazil, places like that.
All right. If I were your dad, and I'm old enough to be, I would sit down with you guys and I would say, look, you guys are still young. You're in your 20s, just turning 30. This is a preparatory decade. Now you're moving into a decision decade. You want God's best for your life. You're really trying to make some important decisions. If it takes another year or two to get well prepared so you're ready to step into whatever it is that God calls you to, then that would be worth the investment. Here's what I would do if I were you guys. I would find some people who have been where you have been praying about going. I would find some missionaries, maybe those who've come back from the field or those there now and coming back on sabbatical or for a period of time, that you could get with them and let them mentor you. Let them talk to you about what it means to be in medical missions. What does it mean? What does it take to be prepared? What are things they have learned in their 50s or 60s looking back that they would do different? I think one of the major problems we have in our culture today, Michael, especially with the younger generation, and God bless all the millennials listening today. We love you guys. But you're talking to each other. And I think there's a lot of people who may not be technologically as savvy as you are, and you may think they're out of touch with the world today, but they have been where you're wanting to go. They understand about life. They understand about, they've learned some lessons. Now, be careful. You can't trust everyone. Just because a person has white hair, you don't trust them. Just because a person's old doesn't mean you listen to them, right? But find some people of wisdom in your church, in your community, and immerse yourself in getting some good counsel and then praying about it, praying it together, and then putting a plan together and then acting on it. One of the things I find, Michael, is that people sometimes procrastinate because of fear. You know, they kind of know what they should do or what they're called to do, but they don't act out of fear. And there's a lot of things that happen when you have fear. You can come up with a dozen reasons why I'm not going to decide. And the fact is, indecision is also a decision. So that's my take on where you guys are. I encourage you to find some people who are where you're thinking about and talk to them.
All right.
Okay?
All right.
All right, my friend. We'll be praying for you. Not sure he totally agrees, but I think that's, you know, you got to talk. I think you learn. There's wisdom in many counselors, the Bible says. Okay, April, welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Appreciate your call. What's your question or decision?
My question is, I'm recently a new believer.
Uh-huh.
And me and my boyfriend, we have three kids together. So we're not married, and he believes in God, but he doesn't believe in Christ, and he's on dialysis, and he needs a kidney.
Oh, wow.
So it's just been really hard and heavy on my heart with his sickness and our three kids, and that I feel kind of stuck in our situation. I tried to do Bible studies with him with my friends, and he'll go, but he's not really present. And I'm really struggling with it. I just, you know, some people say if you're not equally yoked, and it's just, I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do.
Well, April, listen, the good news is God is a God of love and a God of compassion. He's a God of forgiveness. It says in Scripture, he's not the author of confusion. So as you feel confused, that's not coming from God. That's certainly Satan speaking to your life. Yeah, do you have some issues? Yeah. Are they real? Yes. Do they go away because you become a Christian? No. It's because you say, Lord, come into my heart. I love you. Save me. I want to go to heaven. He saves you. You turn around. You still have all the challenges in front of you. But you now have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life as you face these challenges. You have a new spiritual growing wisdom that will lead you to make the right decisions. I hear it in your voice, that spiritual sensitivity of wanting to do the next right thing. I mean, that's, to me, that's sort of evidence of a person's spiritual growth when they care enough, April, as you do, to have tears to say, I feel stuck. I don't know what to do. I want to do the right thing. All right? So let me just kind of unpack this a little bit for you, April. I think you start where you are in terms of saying, okay, I've got all of these issues. Living with my boyfriend. He's on dialysis. We have three children together. You're a new believer. He's interested, but not really interested in following Christ. And so I would encourage you, the very first thing that I would encourage you to do is for you to get plugged into a church.
Mm-hmm.
You get plugged in with some mature Christian women, pastor's wife and some other women, that you get into some counseling where you can be guided spiritually week by week, day by day. You're not, your job right now is not to be the Holy Spirit for your husband or for your boyfriend. Your job right now is to start living that intentional life in Christ in ways that will honor Christ and honor the decisions that you've made in ways that don't violate your walk with Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I did get into a church, and I am new, and I went to talk to one of the pastors, and he was really upset with our situation because we were not married, and it threw me off because he just said, you know, I need to leave him now. I need to move, like, out of state. I need to take the kids, and it just, like, I don't know, messed with my head a lot because I was like, well, that's a whole lot to do just because, I mean, I understand we're not married, and that's not honoring God.
Mm-hmm.
But
see, April, you know, I don't want to get crosswise with the pastor that you're seeing, but it may be that you need to talk to some other counselors. Not every counselor and every pastor, God bless you, pastors, are created equal when it comes to giving guidance and direction. And I hear the pastor's heart. You're a Christian. You want to live in honor. You want to honor Christ, but you got responsibility. That doesn't mean you live with the man in married, having sex and all the things that you know would dishonor him, and you're not married, if that's your conviction, and rightfully so, in my view. But that doesn't mean you have responsibility. You got three kids. You've got this man that's on dialysis. You've got his spiritual soul. You've got your own life in terms of living with Christ. You got to sort this out. Now, you're going to get different counsel from different people, undoubtedly. That's why I'm saying I think you need to get plugged into some really godly spiritual women who can guide you, some Christian women, pastors' wives, some real people who are going to be sensitive to the reality of what you're facing, or a really godly Christian counselor who can help guide you. But, April, don't jump from the frying pan into the fire, you know? What I'm excited for you, and I'm going to pray with you in a moment, what I'm excited for you is your spirit of wanting to honor Christ. God hears that. He knows your heart. And if you went to your boyfriend and said, look, as a new believer, being married is important to me. Now, I don't know if you're going to get married or not. I mean, if he wants to marry or not. But marriage is something sacred to you. And if he understands that, if that's something where you can begin with him in terms of the other issues of dialysis and our kids and all of that, that's an issue you can deal with. But this thing of saying, look, marriage is important. I'll tell you, there's people come down on different sides on this, April. You're going to know this, but you really need to pray and seek God and make the decision that you really feel God's leading you, but you need some good counsel to do it. Mm. That's why what we're going to be doing the next 5 days, we're going into this decision-making series. We're going to lay out, when we have more time in these 5 days, the biblical process for making godly decisions. How do you do that? And I hope you'll be listening if making decisions is important to you. Father, I do pray for April, this young woman. She feels stuck, and we know that you're not the author of confusion. Give her wisdom to make the right decision, that she can live in purity, that she can live in purity in her heart and soul, not violate that commitment to you, and also recognize that she has responsibility and consequences from decisions that have made in the past, frankly. That you'll help her walk this very difficult process. First of all, looking to you as the author and the finisher of her faith. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you, April, for calling, and I would really encourage you to continue to seek the counsel of some wise people that can help you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I'm so sorry you're there, but that's the way the world unfortunately is facing today. Mm. All right, we'll be back. More on decision making and more from the Facebook on the dumbest decision, stupidest decision you ever made. We'll hear some more.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
She sent me to the grocery store for bread, milk, and eggs. I came back from the hardware store with light bulbs and a new lawnmower. She says, "You didn't write it down." I said, "I make it up as I go. That's how I roll." My New Year's resolution? Avoid my wife's glare of death and plan ahead.
Commit to a new way of living and experience hope in 2017. The Intentional Living 2017 Weekly Planner is the place to set goals and track results week by week and month by month. And it's yours with our thanks for your gift today at theintentionallife.com from Intentional Living Center.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. One of the things we've been intentional about here at the Intentional Living Center is the timing of this particular program. Because tomorrow, Dr. Randy begins his new 5-part series entitled Making Better Decisions. So be sure to join us. And if you'd like to receive your own copy of his teaching series, you can order it online at theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-1717, and press number 4. Dr. Randy.
Thank you, Kurt. I was just thinking of the last caller. We have to be so careful when we talk to people in terms of say, hey, you need to do this, you need to do this, and do the next thing. People want to know that. Let's face it, people call because they want, tell me what to do and I'll go do it. But you got to be convicted in your heart to understand why you do what you do, because decisions that are made because of someone else telling you to make a decision usually don't stick. They've got to be coming from your heart. I would say, because I don't know all the details of her situation, that when you're in a complex situation where you've got issues, you keep coming back to what are the biblical principles of God's forgiveness, his love. In her case, to say, listen, you know, I've got responsibility for this man. I got responsibility for these kids. But that doesn't mean we have to, quote, live together. We don't have to be living as though we're married. We don't have to be having sex and whatever else. I mean, I can honor myself and my decision and still honor the consequences or decisions that I've made. I don't think those are mutually exclusive. Sometimes we get so caught in a box, it's either all this or all that, instead of saying, hey, maybe because of the complexity of this, I've got to walk a difficult process. And I'll tell you one thing, though. If you're walking in that kind of a situation that we just had, you need to have some mentors alongside of you who can help hold you accountable and love you through the process. Yeah. Okay, quickly, I'm running out of time, but I wanted to get Todd on from California. Welcome, Todd.
Good morning.
Good morning. Appreciate your call. What's the decision you made or making?
I made a decision to take a plea. I was charged with some federal crimes, white collar, and I took a plea, and the other men that were involved didn't take the plea. Hmm. And I took the plea just based on numbers. It wasn't because I felt I was guilty. It was because the overwhelming of going to trial, if I lose, would have been, you know, significant. And so I felt that just take a plea and get along to go along. And then the other men decided that they were going to take it to trial, so it's going to trial anyway. Yeah. And now I'm being asked to lie by the prosecutor, or at least not tell the truth. And I have to make a decision if I'm going to withdraw my plea or not. Wow. And that could be a consequence for me. But the Lord really is directing me, really, Even with your program, I heard you say the numbers, and I just spoke to me, and I've never called a radio show before in my life, and I just felt compelled to call you and share that with you and that decision that I have to make.
Well, Todd, it's obviously a very difficult one, big one. It's your life and consequences that maybe even not aware of today. And we'll be praying that you make a decision, the decision that honors God. You know, like I said earlier, sometimes the decisions are real clear, this or that. You know, you don't have to think about it. But then there's these other ones. You got to really understand and discern the Holy Spirit and what God's teaching you. So, Todd, we'll be praying for you. We'll add you to the list, and we'll pray as you make this decision that God will go before you, and whatever the consequences, whatever comes of it, that he'll get the glory for it.
What can I do with a pack of 5,000 sticky notes? Keep track of all my goals for 2017 in one place, all over my desk. Except when my cat takes over my desk and rearranges everything so that I send my boss my parents' anniversary card and my parents got that 50-page business proposal. I need a cat-proof way of planning for 2017.
Move beyond where you are today to God's hope for the year ahead. The Intentional Living 2017 Weekly Planner will help you make a plan, tracking goals and results without the sticky notes. And it's yours with our thanks for your gift today at theintentionallife.com from Intentional Living Center.
Ah, that's good. It is. I have it in my hand right now. They're in from the printer. They've been created for our ministry, by our ministry. It's My Plan for Hope 2017 Weekly Planner, as you heard. It's unique because it focuses on the five essentials. It talks about goal setting, how to set goals, gives you an opportunity to set goals for each month, and then work through those goals for that month. It's kind of a cool thing in each of the five areas. And this would be especially great for ladies, the way it's been designed, but it's for men, for your family. But you know what? As you become a monthly member in support every month, we're not only going to send that to you as a very special gift while supply lasts, but also two of my best-selling books, The Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection, along with this entire upcoming teaching, Making Better Decisions, on CD. Call and join us with your best monthly gift. You'll help us keep intentional living going. All you have to do is call 888-888-1717, press number 4, or go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on donate and join in support. Appreciate it. Man, would you do that today? God bless you. We start making better decisions in earnest tomorrow. Come and join us. See you at Intentional Living Center then.